Good morning, everybody, and good afternoon over there in Israel. We have Asaf today here with CyberReady, and without further ado, we'd love if you can introduce what your company does and what kind of services you provide.
Okay, cool. So, hi, everybody. CyberReady essentially is a company that makes a platform that allows you to train your employees to better avoid phishing attacks and other cybersecurity awareness training. So if you use CyberReady, we will train your employees. We will teach them about the dangers, about what to do, what not to do, how to avoid, and all that good stuff.
Awesome. So how'd you get to where you're at in your career? What got you down the path of doing cybersecurity?
Cybersecurity is just like, you know, it needs to be everywhere because I think that's where nowadays is the highest potential for, you know, various malicious actors to make their money. And no matter like what your organization size is, I think cybersecurity should be on your mind. It's not just a scare tactic, you know, because it's actually true. But me personally, like I am currently the head of product at CyberReady, and I got there from being a product manager. And before that, I was very much into design and UX design. So these passions as a teenager, basically, you know, doing design and really loving technology, that kind of brought me there. And over the years, I just wanted, you know, more and more, to have more and more effect on the products that I work on. So that brought me to the position that I am today.
Well, sounds like a fun gig. And they like you over there too. So whatever you're doing, it works well. So I guess, what are some common cybersecurity risks the company should be aware of today?
Well, that comes in all shapes, sizes, and forms. You know, there's obviously phishing, which is, you know, what my company is best at teaching to protect employees from. But there can be other, you know, backdoor attacks and you know, classic hacker stuff, like, you know, logging into the mainframe and whatnot. Also, there are some, you know, physical in-person types of attacks, you know, people infiltrating, you know, facilities and offices and doing very social engineering face-to-face and not just via email or SMS.
Oh, wow. Now be careful when you're out there at those networking events.
you know, attackers can do, you know, their end goal is to either steal your money directly, steal your IP to sell it to the highest bidder, or if they are, you know, doing their own corporate espionage, so use that IP. And just generally compromising employees, systems, credentials, all that stuff.
Yeah, so it seems like a lot of times it's the most basic things that lead to cybersecurity issues. It's not, you know, like they showcase on the media all the time, some like super hacker guy just, you know, writing some code and getting in there. Would you say that that's kind of how phishing and smishing, even for that matter, works?
Actually, I don't think so, because doing phishing and smishing is very, very cheap, and you don't need to have amazing hacking skills for that. You know, hackers that do low level type stuff are rare and they're highly skilled. To run a successful phishing attack, you really don't need to be that tech savvy. There are services, legal services out there that you can use to mass email or mass text some you know, an organization or anything. And typically what they would want to do is, you know, get your credentials for something, or phish your multi-factor authentication code. Those that send you a file to download which contains malware, those are rarer, but they do exist. But I would say that you should be wary of, you know, both types.
Definitely. I guess, so what are some time-proven techniques that companies can adopt to help mitigate against the threat of cybersecurity issues?
Right. Well, there's the time not proven methods of just like, you know, frontal learning. So doing lectures, gathering everybody like for an all hands meeting and explaining stuff. But that's just like good in theory. What really works in practice is knowing what phishing looks like. So if your company runs a phishing simulation campaign, can work. You know, when I say a campaign, I mean continuously, not just like one time. And getting on time training, just in time training. So if you click on a phishing simulation and whatnot or whatnot, you will get actual training advice. Like, okay, you fell for it, but here are a few things that you can look out for. Look at the sender name, at the domain name, if it's maybe misspelled a little bit. Usually when you get messages demanding you or urging you to act fast to maybe send a payment or send certain credentials or personal details, these are the kind of things that you should be aware of. And yeah, so just-in-time training, phishing simulations, and of course, general awareness training, which what we do in CyberAD is we periodically send all employees short emails with some tips on how to better defend yourself online and offline.
Nice. Yeah, a lot of times they'll try to impersonate somebody in the company as well, like, you know, potentially the CEO, and say, hey, I need you, you know, ASAP to send this money to this person.
Yeah, this stuff actually happens. You know, every month or so you'll hear like of a high profile case that happened. It's really amazing that this actually works.
Yeah, it's like nachonachos.com. somebody trying to impersonate your CEO and they send you a message. Anything that's, you know, urgent, always take a step back and take a breather and then read it thoroughly. Because anything super urgent always, you know, usually isn't as urgent as you think it should be. So that should always be a red flag right there. A lot of scammers always try to force you to make a decision quickly. That's when you need to take a step back. Anything urgent, just, you know, really review what it is this person is asking you and then make a decision accordingly.
Absolutely. I would even add to that you'd want to try to contact that person who's being impersonated to yourself using a different channel and you know, confirm that's what they actually want. Yes. I would also add that, circling back to what I said earlier about these attackers not necessarily being tech savvy. So the ones who are tech savvy with the, you know, actual coding and writing, finding exploits in your systems or components, that's one class. But the other class, you know, those who just send phishing simulations. So they can be like mass emailing, mass texting with something generic, but they can also like target you personally, mm-hmm. or maybe just the company. And that requires very little, you know, intelligence work. You know, you just like find on LinkedIn who's the manager, who's what, like you find the key personnel, and this is all publicly available information. So it doesn't cost a lot of money, doesn't cost a lot of time. So definitely the fact that they do that doesn't mean that they're tech savvy, but they've just done their work and they're targeting you because maybe you hold some special access that they want.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's always great to, you know, especially if it involves money or transfers or anything like that, you know, fire off a quick text or WhatsApp message to the person just to confirm. I had one a couple weeks ago, actually, but it was a pretty ridiculous attempt. they're asking for like Apple gift cards and everything. And I didn't even ask if it was real. I just said, hey, somebody's trying to impersonate you. I just went
over ahead
and told them. That there
was asking you to log into something to maybe like your account has been locked to prevent it being blocked further. Please click here. And then you enter your credentials, but you don't notice that the website that you're entering your Google credentials to just maybe attempts to look like Google. And if you look at the domain, it's maybe a different website. So very, you know, be aware of that.
Yeah, that's a good point too. A lot of those Facebook scams too, a lot of accounts get hacked. And so like a friend will send you a link and they'll say, oh, I can't get into my account. Can you help me click this link? I've seen that one go very viral. Obviously I never clicked it, but you know, I'm not never going to say never. Right. So you always have to be, and that's how these guys get you too. They make you think that you're smarter than you really are. So you need to assume that you're not and just judge everything as it comes across your desk and make a decision accordingly, because that's why even smart people can fall for these kind of things. Right. But I've seen a lot of those go around, and I have friends that will send me a Facebook message saying, I need your help urgently to get into my account. You know, don't think, just click. but that's the biggest red flag.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So tell us more about CyberAD and some of the programs you guys offer for your clients and how you guys help them address their cybersecurity awareness.
Yeah. So as I said, we do generally two things. We do phishing training and awareness training. So on the phishing side, we run campaigns. We have hundreds of attacks, well, simulations that we created. Most of them are based on actual attacks. Some of them we created from scratch. in anticipation of certain attacks, like, you know, for the Olympics or stuff like that. So free tickets or a watch party or whatever. So we would create these in advance to better prepare our customers to not fall for them. But so that's one area, and that's email. And coming soon, we will have some more channels like smishing and more. I can't really discuss that, but it's okay. Coming and it's cool. And the other side of it is more, you know, learning content, stuff like that. So I mentioned the awareness bites, which are short emails with generally usually 3 or 4 tips per. And these are on various topics like maybe fraud or vishing. Like, you know, you get a video call or a voice call from your boss supposedly asking you to transfer some money, what to do when you go on vacation, how to keep your desk clean, like, you know, for so that nobody can find anything on your actual physical desk, stuff like that. So that's the content. We have also a compliance tool where a company, if they have like certain guidelines or policies that every employee needs to follow, so every employee gets that policy once a year, and they have to like sign in the end, and we're going to add some more capabilities to that, like a quiz. And lastly, we have a phishing reporting button, which works on both Google and Microsoft, so that if you see a suspicious email, you report it. If it's our simulations, one of our simulations, you get a congratulatory message. If it's not, it will actually be forwarded to your IT team for further review to see if it's actually malicious or not.
Very cool. Do you guys kind of push that into a larger community of report, like as a reporting mechanism, where it's a crowdsourced reporting, if you will?
Not really. We do have an API that checks those links in advance. Like whatever is not our simulation, we check using that API if it's an actual malicious or an unverified one. And the CISO gets a notification either way, and with the classification that we've given. But we don't share that data outside. We keep everything in-house, but we do get tens of thousands of reports every month just from our customers' employees.
Very neat. Yeah, I've seen like CrowdStrike and like platforms like that, that kind of have like this sharing mechanism so they could report it across all their portfolios, companies. I guess
The focus of our company is mostly on training and learning, and yep. Not so much on actual physical protection.
Yep, makes a lot of sense. So you mentioned when hackers tend to strike, you mentioned like special events people should especially be careful of, like leading up to the Olympics, you know, maybe elections, anything that's once again urgent and timely that encourages people to, you know, think quickly and make a decision as quickly as possible. What kind of key events should people be aware of?
There's lots. Like, so we've talked about sports. So there's Olympics, Super Bowl, FIFA World Cup, Formula One races, whatever. There are certain events such as elections in each country. You know, we don't just serve the U.S. market. We serve a global market. What else could there be? There was a lot of activity around COVID.
Yeah.
So a lot of misinformation, a lot of click here to reserve your spot for the vaccine, stuff like that.
Oh, geez.
A lot around global crises, also around the Russian invasion of Ukraine. There was a lot of activity there targeting not just Ukrainians, because, as you know, Russia has also conducted a cyber attack, but not just Russia. So this is also something to be very wary of. Global events, basically. Maybe the release of a new iPhone, stuff like that.
Yep. Yeah, and a lot of fundraising scams too, I'd imagine, right?
Oh, so for sure. Yeah.
There's a natural disaster or something, donate money here, and it's, you know, you don't even know where the money's going.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that, and I would say, yeah, I think a lot of the sporting events are probably like offering like free tickets to the Super Bowl or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's too good to be true, you know, my parents always told me if it's too good to be true, it usually is. So keep that in mind. So I guess there's a lot of myths around cybersecurity, and I'd like to maybe dive into, you know, you with your experience. What are some common myths in cybersecurity training that, you know, maybe we could address today as true or false? So I guess I would say, you know, my first question would be, does the click rate need to be close to zero? And is CTR the most important metric to consider with cybersecurity training?
Right. So yeah, this is a common one that we get, that our customers, you know, they get a dashboard to see what the click rate is in their company. And it usually starts at maybe 10, 20%, which is, well, 20 and up is pretty high. And they want to get down to zero. And what we tell them is, you don't want to get down to zero, because if you're down to zero, it doesn't mean your organization is protected. It means that the difficulty is too low. So you always want to keep it a little bit above zero. It's really hard to catch everything, right? So it's either maybe the simulations are not being sent properly, maybe not everybody's receiving it, you know, maybe a sample size is too small, but it's basically, it means that the simulations are too easy and you want to up it a little bit, maybe change the landing page to be like a login form. Maybe you want to try a different type of attack, like a QR code attack. So people actually take their phones and scan a QR code in their email, which, you know, QR code is basically a link. So you could just click it, but people are so like unprepared to get a QR code. So they do it. And sometimes, you know, your phone is connected to your work account. So that makes it a vulnerable device. Basically you want to always up your game. Always, like, one thing I heard recently was that a phishing attack had a little reporting button in the end, report phishing. So the thing looked, you know, pretty shady, and you as a reader, you see it and, it's a phishing, I'll click the report phishing. And that actually is the malicious button. So you always want to try new things and maybe new channels such as smishing.
Oh, they're always improving their methods over there.
Exactly. Yeah, because it's cheap. It's cheap. It's easy. You can really send hundreds of thousands of emails in just a few minutes. And this is why we always have to stay vigilant. You know, it's such an easy mode of attack.
Yeah, and I'm sure with AI, it's just going to get out of control.
Absolutely. Yeah, it can become conversational. It can answer you. It doesn't have to send you a link right away. It can establish some trust with you and then send you a link. The possibilities are endless. Yeah.
So is it true that mandatory training is effective?
No, obviously not. As I said before, like I myself have been to, I've worked at companies which have like this in-person training. They gather everybody into a hall and some guy shows us, you know, emails from, you know, attackers. And you see that, you maybe fumble with your phone a bit, you know, you're not really concentrated, and all you think about is lunch, stuff like that. So it's really not that effective. It could be effective if it's short, if it coincides with other training, types of training that you use. So everybody has like a level playing field, the same context, and you don't keep it too basic. So maybe that can intrigue them. So it's effective, but if this is the only thing you're doing, it's not effective. For instance, I have a friend who works at one of the big tech companies. And we were discussing, you know, mandatory training, and they told me, two friends who were there, they told me that there's like this video that you have to watch all the way through. And they found a way to circumvent that. They just click show transcript, you know, for people who are hard of hearing. If you scroll all the way down to the bottom of the thing, you can click and then you're done. So employees are very always trying to circumvent, you know, mandatory training. So I wouldn't say it's an effective tool if this is the only thing you do.
Yeah, it's like, give me the cliff notes or just go to the end and see what the ending of the book is, you know?
Right. And I think also if it's mandatory, like there is not incentive for the content to be engaging and good, you know?
Yeah, there has to be maybe some sort of a carrot element to it as well too, right? People ultimately should want to do it. You know, don't make it too big of a lift or too much effort for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is also why our content at CyberAD is not just, it doesn't only tackle professional subjects like work-related subjects. It also teaches you how to be safe when you're doing online shopping and whatnot. So there's always something for you to gain personally from this kind of training.
So I'm gathering that training's never really done, right? Is this something that continues, you know, going forward, or is it you just have you know, a new employee boarding, you give them like the one-on-one on cybersecurity, and then they're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's also a big one. You know, some customers mistakenly think that they can, you know, sign up for cybersecurity training. It doesn't have to be cyber ready, but if you do it for a year, maybe two, you're done. But the actual thing is it's not, because first of all, there's employee turnover. So people are leaving, other people are coming in, and you need to train them too. Another thing is threats are ever evolving. So as we talked about QR codes and smishing and, you know, Microsoft Teams and vishing, AI, all that good stuff. So threats are ever evolving. And if you don't stay vigilant, if you don't train your employees continuously, that is going to leave you open.
Yep. So is it true that theoretical training is good enough, or is there another way that you would go about training aside from being theoretical in nature?
Yeah, right. So I did mention the security bytes that we send, the awareness bytes, the short little emails. And I would say that if this is the only thing that you do, is also not good enough, because, you know, maybe you're thinking about something else. Maybe you just want to get through it. And it's not really connected to anything that you've experienced or done. So, you know, if you remember from college, if you just listen to your professor, that could have some effectiveness. But if you actually like write down some notes, that increases your learning. So it needs to like come alongside some actual action. So this is why when we do the phishing training, the simulations, so we always like give you feedback if you've clicked it, so you get some training. And if you're a serial non-clicker, like if you're a very vigilant type of user, like we can't really know if it's because you just ignore emails or if you're actually really good at spotting phishing. So every once in a while, you'll get an email congratulating you first, because, you know, kudos. But it'll also like give you some general tips. So like it'll show you a simulation and show you if you were to receive that, these are the types of signs that you would want to watch out for. Yep. And also in our simulations, every like training landing page is different. So as I said before, like you have various tips, like to check the sender or to look for typos and stuff like that. So every simulation will have like different tips associated to it. So it's not the same content that you're seeing over and over again. It's always changing, and, you know, depending on what you click and what you've seen. So it needs to be contextual. And then like, it really helps, you know, the information stick in your mind.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's a saying that if you hear, you forget. If you see, you remember. And if you do, you understand.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I think it was a Confucius quote, but yeah, I totally agreed.
I could have just said that. Yeah.
Oh, maybe. It sounds like a Confucius quote, I think. But yeah, hands-on training is definitely, you know, key, just getting people involved with it, especially even, you know, your position as a product manager, right? Did you just read a book and start doing it? No, it's probably something you've developed over the years working on many different products. So that's sure. Where you're at today.
And every environment is different. So, you know, you have some takeaways, but you have to adapt them to different situations. So the same goes for phishing simulations or actual phishing attacks.
Totally. So I guess we're getting at, it's not only fools that get phished, right? Is that true or false?
Yeah. So it's easy for people like us in the tech business to believe that we're not the right audience for it. But I have a confession. So I myself almost fell for one, a simulation, just very recently when I was promoted to my role as head of product. So all of a sudden I had like different, you know, extra duties. And it just as it happens, like it was totally coincidental. I got one of our simulations that's related to office supplies, like please approve this office supplies order or something. And I received it. And I was like, okay, I guess that's part of my job now. And I like opened the email. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, I recognize this email. We wrote it, right? So I work in the business. I work at the company, and I almost fell for it. It's just sometimes, you know, people are sometimes absent-minded. Sometimes the context around them changes. So for me, it was like the different role. Yeah, I mean, emotional state can really affect it, like how aware you are to what you read, to what you see. If you're desperate for something, if all you wanted was a Super Bowl ticket, and you talk about it with your friends, and then you get an email, you know, that can affect your vulnerability. So it really does matter, and it's you can't be complacent ever about it. So everybody can get phished, CEOs, board members, so CISOs get phished, CFOs. The more important you are in the organization, especially if like you have access to, you know, network resources, stuff or accounts, stuff like that, the more you are a fatter target for them to look out for. So they will find your vulnerabilities, they will find what you're into, and they will target you with attacks that you will fall for. It won't be like a Nigerian prince scam, you know. It'll be something much more intricate, much more methodical.
Yeah, it's wild to see. Yeah, you know, especially they might catch you off guard. Maybe you're in the middle of something. You don't pay too much attention to it. And you just it's so easy to just click a link if you're just, you know, flustered or involved in something else. And you just, you know, anybody could really fall for it too. And a lot of times they do play off people's ego. So the fact that we're in tech and, you know, we think we're smarter than everybody in terms of technology.
I was pretty embarrassed when I almost fell for it, you know, but it is a cautionary tale, and it's good to, you know, let go of your ego and understand that, I'm also vulnerable to it. And
It could happen.
You know, accept it. Yeah. Especially, it's fine. It doesn't say anything about you. It just means that, you know, something else will work on you. Maybe not 90% of attacks, but 5%, but you only need to get that one email to fall for it, you know?
Yep. Yeah. So don't think you're smarter than everyone, because it could happen to anybody out there, right? It's and that's a really sophisticated one that you just shared. I haven't heard of that before. Somebody really, you know, really copying an email from you guys to make it look, you know, like something that's repetitive that you've seen so many times, and it's so easy to just respond to it because it's second nature. But then, you know, maybe you check the URL and it's just slightly off.
But
somebody did their research, you know, so. That's how they get you though. But I guess what's next for CyberReady? What should we look forward to over the next 5 years? I know you mentioned a couple features. You're the product guy. You can't spill the beans on it, and that's totally fine. But anything else that you could share with us?
So obviously we don't plan that far ahead because of the dynamic nature of our business. But we do have goals, and our goals is to provide the best in class type of training, which I personally think we already do, but we need to stay vigilant because, you know, our competitors can go ahead and copy some of our stuff. But provide the best in class training. We want to be able to train employees of all types of companies, all types of verticals, and not just office workers. You know, there are other employees who don't, like, you know, sit at a desk with an email and work there. You know, have drivers, logistics, warehouse, everything. So we want to be able to train everybody to meet them where they are, to treat them with respect, to be positive about training. We don't shame anybody who clicks because, as we said, it doesn't mean you're a fool. It just means the attacker is, you know, was either smarter on that occasion or whatnot. And we want to provide more channels to do simulations on. So maybe not just emails or text. There's more places where workers are at, and ever-evolving threats, as I said.
Yeah, maybe the metaverse at some point too.
AI bot. Is that still happening?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, that was like a thing for a little bit and kind of went away. They're like, wait, the technology's not ready. So I guess what's one thing potential customers should know about CyberReady and why they should pick you guys today to get their cyber training in order?
One simple reason is that we do provide the best type of training. Our system, I actually haven't mentioned it. Shame on me. What we do is automatic, and you can enable CyberReady with a small setup in one click, and we just run. You don't have to, you know... you don't have to create simulations yourself. You don't have to work for it. The system works for you. So you enable it, click autopilot, and we just train your employees when they join, when they leave, on various channels. And we have a nice content library that you can use as well. But basically, it's all automatic and smart, and, you know, uses sensors to know what to send to whom and all that stuff.
That's great. Yeah. So everybody likes the easy button, right? Especially when it comes to the training.
Exactly. So we don't do like here are 4,000 simulations you have to like pick and then, you know, individually send or whatnot. We don't do that. We value quality over quantity and easiness over, you know, granular control.
I like it. So where can people learn more about your guys' company?
So the website is cyberready.com. That is cyberready with one R. Google us, find us on LinkedIn. We have fun people and nice people to talk to you.
Definitely. Yeah. And just remember, it's one R. Actually, the first time I went to go type it into, I was like, cyber ready. but I like how you guys kind of blended the two together. So once you get it, you get it, you know. but yeah, anyways, Asaf, thank you so much for coming on today. Once again, that's cyberready.com. That's cyber.
Link in the show notes.
Yep, exactly. yeah, so we'll share that after the show as well, too. And then please do check it out in the Nacho Nacho Marketplace. They are a great partner of ours over there. So feel free to either go to their website or check it out today. We offer 25% cash back for a limited time. So feel free to grab it from the marketplace. And also go back to their website here to learn more about their great company and some of the cybersecurity awareness training that they could do for you. Once again, Asaf, thank you so much for coming on today. And
thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Too. Cool.